Of all the holidays that we have, and I know God knows the holidays that we have, I think that He enjoys Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a day of remembrance. We remember those that gave their lives for the freedom, for our country, fought in wars, paid the ultimate price. I mentioned in Sunday school it used to be called Decoration Day because they would go and decorate the graves of those that had given their lives in war. I think it's also a day, as I mentioned in Open Assembly in Sunday school, to remember those that fought the spiritual war, those that went before us, those that paved the way for our coming to know the Lord, for our Christian life, those that have preceded us to heaven. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7, the Bible says, "The memory of the just is blessed." And I spent a little time this morning thinking about my mom and dad and my grandmothers and my grandfather who are all in heaven this morning and the impact that they had on my life. And I know, as I mentioned in Sunday school, all of you, every single one of you, have somebody in your life that were your forebears from your in your spiritual journey that set the stage, laid the foundation for what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, in His Word, throughout His Word, tells His people to remember. We're going to look at that last verse that we read this morning for our scripture reading, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, where the Bible says, "And remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commandeth thee to keep the Sabbath day." I see an outline in that verse. 3 points. I always try to have 3 points in my sermons, but I see 3 points in that verse. The first one being, "And remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt." Now that word servant, we really don't, when we hear the word servant, we don't really think about what it means. Because that word actually means the word slave. It actually means in bondage. And God says, "I want my people to remember that they were slaves in the land of Egypt. I want my people to remember that they were slaves for 430 years. I want them to remember that when they were slaves in the land of Egypt, they had no rights. They were property. They had no freedoms. They could not do what they wanted to do. They had to do what their masters told them to do. They could own no property. They could save no money. They had no future. They were born a slave. They died a slave. That's what their children could look forward to. That's what their grandchildren could look forward to. They were in bondage, under the bondage of the Egyptians, with no hope of getting out. And God said, "I want you to remember what you were." I think God would have us on this Memorial Day to remember what we were. I think God would have us as we remember on Memorial Day that we were sinners, that we were at enmity with God, that because of our sin, we were separated from God. Because of our sin, we were headed for hell. Because of our sin, we had no freedom. We had no hope. We served Satan. We did his wishes. We were a captive of sin. And we had no future to look forward to. We were headed for an eternity in hell. And there was nothing that we could do about it. The songwriter writes a song, I remember it used to be your number at work, 212 in our old books. "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more." The songwriter caught what God is saying for us to remember this morning. Hey, you were sinking in sin. You had no hope. There was nothing that you could do to pay for your sin. And God says, "I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that you were a sinner, that you were headed for hell. You had no hope. You were enslaved by sin." Now look, I've heard some of your testimonies. I know some of the sins that you were enslaved by. I know some of the sins from which God sets you free. In those sins, you cannot break the bondage. You cannot break the chains that held you. God says, don't forget what you used to be. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 51, verse 1, the Bible says, remember the pent which ye are digged. You remember, I remember, that we were sinners. We were slaves to sin. We had no hope. We were just like the Israelites in the land of Egypt. We were slaves to Satan and to sin, and there was nothing that we could do to change it. But God goes on. He says, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God, brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. God says, I want you to remember you were slaves. I want you to remember there was nothing you could do to break the bondage of that slavery. But he says, I also want you to remember that I brought you out. I brought you out. I sent my servant Moses. I called him and I sent him to Pharaoh with a message. Let my people go. Moses delivered that message to Pharaoh. And the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Or Pharaoh hardened his heart and said, no, I'm not going to let him go. And God says, all right, let me get your attention. All right, Pharaoh, you want to let my people go? Let me show you who's God. And we can read in the book of Exodus the 10 plagues that God sent to Egypt. The water turning into blood. The frogs that came. The lice that came. The flies that came. The disease that came to their animals. The boils and the hail and the locusts and the darkness. And then finally, the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, where the death angel passed through the land and killed the firstborn in every house. God says, I want you to remember you were slaves and there was nothing you could do to break that bondage, but I want you to remember I brought you out with an outstretched arm, with a mighty hand. And God says, I worked miracles in the land of Egypt to bring you out of that slavery. I want you to remember that. By the way, every one of the plagues attacked one of the Egyptians' gods. Every one of the plagues, God was showing Pharaoh, I am God, is stronger than any god that you worship. The I am God is more powerful, is more omnipotent than any god that you worship in Egypt. And God told his people, I want you to remember that you were slaves. I want you to remember there was nothing that you could do to bring yourselves out of that bondage. I want you to remember that I'm the one that brought you out. And God gave them something to help remember. He gave them the Passover, the celebration of the Passover that they celebrated in their month of Nisan, in the Jewish month of Nisan. Where they reenacted the Passover, where they killed a perfect lamb and they ate it. Now, during the Passover, they killed that lamb and they put the blood on the doorpost. The death angel was going to pass through Egypt that night and kill all the firstborn in every house. And God says to his people, you kill a perfect lamb of the first year. You take the blood of that lamb and you smear it on the doorpost. And when the death angel comes into the land of Egypt to kill the firstborn, he'll pass over every house that has the blood on the doorpost. So they call it the Passover, and they have the Passover feast. Then they had the Feast of Unleavened Bread when Pharaoh let him go when his firstborn was killed. Pharaoh, in fact, they borrowed riches from the Egyptians, and Pharaoh drove them out of the land. And they took the wealth of Egypt and they left. And God says, they took their bread, which wasn't risen yet. And so they had the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days after the Passover to remind them that God did bring them out, that God with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm brought them out. And God says, I want you to remember that you were slaves, and I want you to remember who brought you out. Now God says the same thing to us. I want you to remember that you were enslaved by sin. You had no hope. I want you to remember that I'm the one that freed you from that sin. I sent my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived among you for 30-some years. He lived a perfect life. He was tempted in all points like as ye, yet without sin. And then I allowed mankind to take my Son and nail him to a cross. And as he hung on that cross, I took every one of your sins, every one of your sins, and I put them on my Son. And on Calvary, Christ paid for every sin. Not just some of them, not just most of them. Every sin of every sinner was paid for by Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Every sin. Isaiah says it this way: all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. With his stripes we are healed. The songwriter goes on. He says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God says, don't forget how I delivered you. Don't forget. Now, again, just like he gave the Jews something to help them remember, he gave us something to help us remember. Gave us the Lord's Supper. We do it on the first Sunday of every month. God doesn't tell us when to do it or how often to do it. He just says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And so when we hold that little piece of unleavened bread, we remember the body of our Savior who was broken for us. When we hold that little cup of juice, we remember the blood that was shed to save us from our sin. And we remember that he paid the price. He paid it all. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I think it's important, and I preached a whole sermon on this one time. I think it's important that every Christian remember the time that you were saved. The time that perhaps your mom or your dad, your grandparent, maybe your aunt or uncle, maybe a pastor, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe a soul winner, but somebody took the time and showed you in the Bible how you were a sinner and how there was a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. There was nothing that you could do to pay for your sin except die and be separated from God. But that God loved us while we were sinners. He loved us so much that he sent his Son to pay for our sins, to die in our place. And if we simply would receive him, he'll forgive our sin, make us a child of God. In John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So I was driving to church this morning. I remember that revival that we had at our church in the fall of the year. I remember during the invitation, I wanted to go forward, but I was shy. I didn't like to get up in front of people. And I remember walking out that night, my pastor grabbed me and said, hey, don't you think it's about time you get saved? And I said, yes, I do. He took me into his office. I remember kneeling on the tile floor down in front of an old red vinyl couch. I remember telling God I was a wicked sinner. I didn't deserve Christ. I didn't deserve heaven.
But I said, Lord, if you'll take me, I'll take you. I'll take Jesus to be my Savior. I went down a sinner. I got up a saint. Amen. I went down headed for hell. I got up headed for an eternal home in heaven. I went down a slave to sin. I got up free. Amen. I encourage you, you remember your salvation experience. You remember where it was, who was there with you, what you did, and you remember the people that influenced your life for Christ. Remember them. Going back to our verse, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Then here's the last phrase of my last point this morning. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. In the book of Exodus, God says it this way. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord God. In it thou shalt not do any work. God was telling his people, I've given you 6 days to work. And during those 6 days, I want you to do all your work. On the seventh day, I want you to rest. Now, for the Jews, the Sabbath was Saturday. We celebrate the seventh day or the first day of Sunday because of the Lord's resurrection. But same principle. God says, I want you to have a reminder every week. Every week, I want you to have a reminder. The other 6 days, you can work. The other 6 days, you can go about your activities. But on one day a week, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember that I am the creator of heaven and earth. I want you to remember that I am the creator of everything that is in them. And I want you to remember that as your God, I will take care of you. I will meet your need. If you're a Christian this morning, you are a child of God. Amen. And your heavenly Father is responsible for meeting the needs in your life. He says, hey, look, I want you to work 6 days. If you worked all seven, if I didn't give you the day of rest, if I didn't give you that weekly reminder, you might think that you were taking care of yourself. You might think that you don't need me. You might think that you could do without God. I want you to have a weekly reminder where you don't work, where you put aside the normal activities of the week and remember me and remember that I'm going to take care of you. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then in verse 19, in that same chapter, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm glad that God has given us the ability to work. I'm glad that God has given us the strength to work. I'm glad that God has given many good jobs so that they can make a living. But God says, I want you to remember that your care is in my hands. Your care, I'm responsible for, and I'm going to take care of you. And so he says, I want you to remember, you were a slave to sin. There was nothing you could do to break the hold of sin. I want you to remember how I brought you out of that sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to remember that I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you on this earth, and then when I get you to heaven, you won't have to worry about a thing. In fact, you don't have to worry about a thing now, because God's going to take care of us. Amen. Remember. So on this Memorial Day, when we remember those that paid the ultimate price, when we remember those that were willing to pay the ultimate price, let's remember our God. Let's remember how he freed us from the slavery of sin. Let's remember how he promises to take care of us. Now, you may be here today, and what I've been talking about is foreign to you because you're still in the slavery of sin. you haven't received Christ. You haven't asked him to be your Savior, and so you have no idea what I'm talking about. Well, let me encourage you to make some memories today. Let me encourage you to do something today that you'll remember for all eternity. Let me encourage you to come to Jesus Christ. Again, we're all sinners. A lot of people are saved sinners this morning, but we're all sinners. The wages of sin is death. The Bible is very clear on that. It's not physical death, spiritual death, separation from God. That's what we pay as sinners. We either pay it or somebody pays it for us. Jesus paid the price for every sin. Amen. And he offers to every person the gift of life. If you've never taken that this morning, if you've never received it, I would invite you to come in just a second. You come and say, "Preacher, I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior." I'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. It's simple. He made it simple. And if you're here today and you've never experienced that, you've never made that decision, I would invite you to come. I would invite Christians to come. Maybe you just like to come and spend a moment at the altar thanking God for those that he put in your life that led you to Christ, laid the foundation for your Christian life. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and just say a prayer for those that are still serving in our military, still defending the freedoms. However the Lord leads you, you be obedient. You come. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel, how you made it available to every person, how Jesus excluded nobody when he went to the cross, that he paid for the sins of all. And if we'd simply come and trust him, trust what he did on Calvary, accept what he did on Calvary as payment for our sins, he will wash all our sins away, dress us in the righteousness of Christ, make us one of your children, give us a home in heaven. And so I pray, Father, if there's just simply, even just one here this morning that's never made that decision, that they'll make it now. They'll see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They'll see that nobody comes to you but through him. And they come this morning receiving Christ. Father, just bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient to what you lead us to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.